Chapter 118. Delta III's foot screamed in pain. He felt himself floating through a muddled consciousness. Is this death? He tried to move but felt paralyzed, barely able to breathe. He saw only blurred shapes. His mind reeled back, recalling the explosion of the Crestliner out at sea, seeing the rage in Michael Tollin's eyes as the oceanographer stood over him, holding the explosive pole to his throat. Certainly Tollin killed me. And yet the searing pain in Delta III's right foot told him he was very much alive. Slowly it came back. On hearing the explosion of the Crestliner, Tollin had let out a cry of anguished rage for his lost friend. Then, turning his ravaged eyes to Delta III, Tollin had arched as if preparing to ram the rod through Delta III's throat. But as he did, he seemed to hesitate, as if his own morality were holding him back. With brutal frustration and fury, Tollin yanked the rod away and drove his boot down on Delta III's tattered foot. The last thing Delta III remembered was vomiting in agony as his whole world drifted into a black delirium. Now he was coming to with no idea how long he had been unconscious. He could feel his arms tied behind his back in a knot so tight it could only have been tied by a sailor. His legs were also bound, bent behind him and tied to his wrists, leaving him in an immobilized backward arch. He tried to call out, but no sound came. His mouth was stuffed with something. Delta III couldn't imagine what was going on. It was then he felt the cool breeze and saw the bright lights. He realized he was up on the Goya's main deck. He twisted to look for help and was met by a frightful sight, his own reflection, bulbous and misshapen in the reflective plexiglass bubble of the Goya's deep-water submersible. The sub hung right in front of him, and Delta III realized he was lying on a giant trap door in the deck. This was not nearly as unsettling as the most obvious question. If I'm on deck, then where is Delta II? Delta II had grown uneasy. Despite his partner's cryptalk transmission claiming he was fine, the single gunshot had not been that of a machine gun. Obviously, Tollin or Rachel Sexton had fired a weapon. Delta II moved over to peer down the ramp where his partner had descended, and he saw blood. Weapon raised, he had descended below decks, where he followed the trail of blood along a catwalk to the bow of the ship. Here, the trail of blood had led him back up another ramp to the main deck. It was deserted. With growing wariness, Delta II had followed the long crimson smear along the sideboard deck back toward the rear of the ship, where it passed the opening to the original ramp he had descended. What the hell is going on? The smear seemed to travel in a giant circle. Moving cautiously, his gun trained ahead of him, Delta II passed the entrance to the laboratory section of the ship. The smear continued toward the stern deck. Carefully, he swung wide, rounding the corner. His eyes traced the trail. Then he saw it. Jesus Christ! Delta III was lying there, bound and gagged, dumped unceremoniously directly in front of the Goya's small submersible. Even from a distance, Delta II could see that his partner was missing a good portion of his right foot. Wary of a trap, Delta II raised his gun and moved forward. Delta III was writhing now, trying to speak. Ironically, the way the man had been bound, with his knees sharply bent behind him, was probably saving his life. The bleeding in his foot appeared to have slowed. As Delta II approached the submersible, he appreciated the rare luxury of being able to watch his own back. The entire deck of the ship was reflected in the sub's rounded cockpit dome.